WBDGFM HD1, Indianapolis.
You're listening to Ben Davis Giants Football on WBDG, Indianapolis.
Hey, let's go!
Going to be fourth down, last play of the game, barring a penalty.
It all comes down to this.
Open your action.
Victory will not be handed to you.
Tom Allen jumping up and down, getting everybody into it. One play.
Number one, Ben Davis Football is physical. Number one, Ben Davis Football is hit.
Who's going to go home?
All you seniors. Will
you
let this be taken away from you?
No, sorry.
No way.
You must go seize the
moment.
It's
going to come down to the signal. Touchdown, Ben Davis. Touchdown, Ben Davis. The Giants win.
I am honored every day to put on something that says Ben Davis Football. I am honored.
When you hit the door, you're a Ben Davis Giant.
This is Ben Davis. We're coming.
And good evening. It's Tuesday. You know what that means. It's the live edition of Inside Ben Davis Football that you heard back on Friday before the game. So if you're listening on Friday, it's Friday. Anyway, I'm John Easter. Good evening, and hopefully you're having a great one thus far out there in Indianapolis. I'm joined here tonight by Bryson Hill. He came back for another week, so we didn't scare him off.
Yeah, but no. I enjoyed interviewing Coach too much last time, so I had to come back.
So Bryson is here, and of course, as... Man, my brain is slow. I
killed it.
I took a nap in my office a little earlier, not during school.
Nah, Dr. Butts, of course.
It was after school. But since then, now my brain is like still, I think it's still in there in the office.
We'll get it fired. We'll get it fired here.
As I think I'll think of the word later. But we have Bryson Hill, and of course, Coach Russ, man, how are you, Coach?
Doing well. We came from a warm one today. You came back. It felt good. It was only in the 80s, and everybody thought it was hot today.
It's been nice and cool.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. I know. I came to school sweatshirt on now. I'm in a t-shirt. It's still quite chill this morning. Oh.
It felt good at practice day. Like, it felt good. People drank water for the first time in a few weeks.
Yeah.
All right. Anyways, I guess I'll get it started.
There you go.
You're good.
Yeah, I'm good.
Yeah, just practice go good.
Practice wasn't bad. It's a unique weekend. You can ask a lot of football coaches how they handle Labor Day. Sometimes practices are early on Labor Day. Sometimes they do them in the afternoon. Sometimes it's varsity early. It depends on how the program runs it. But we followed up a pretty good Labor Day practice yesterday morning with a pretty solid practice day. Yeah. No music today. We had a little music malfunction, so it's kind of quiet out there, but it was warmer.
Meant everyone was more locked,
I guess. That's it. That's exactly it.
I do want to start off with kind of the bigger thing here at quarterback. It did look like Gabe he got majority, or if not all, the snaps against Avon. Was there any particular reason for that? Do you just like what you see more of him in practice, or do you think he was just going to be able to give Avon more of a bigger threat?
Well, we had two different packages for the quarterbacks, and with the way that the game was going on Friday night, Gabe's menu was the one that we needed a little bit more. And so he had a little bit out of their hand early, and the menu that we had with his package, that's the menu that we needed for that game on Friday night.
It looks like you guys ran a lot more efficiently than 2 weeks ago now against Cathedral. Coleman had 13 carries for 49 yards, and Stephens had 8 carries for 51 yards. How much easier does that make, like, knowing you have the running game going on and you can rely on both rather than, you know, sometimes the pass game may be a little inconsistent or vice versa. Maybe they're shutting down the running game, but your passing game's working like a charm. How nice was it to have two of those lanes open? Because even Kinnett, he went, you know, 22 for 31, so.
And Avery went in there as well, too. Like, you're right. It's nice having a two-headed monster there. It's nice having most.
He went 3 for 10, so he got a couple of carries. Oh, yeah, and it looks like Kenneth took off a couple of times, too. Kinnett had 6 for 31, and then Kenneth Doss had 3 for 9. So, utilizing everyone there in the run game, see.
Yeah, it was nice. They're all positive. That's good, too. But a little lightning and thunder with Jazz and Jamil. Jamil did a nice job. He came in the second half and was a spark for us. Had some nice runs. And he's doing a great job. When you go to the end zone view and you watch Jamil run, it's difficult to pick up exactly where he is sometimes, too. So his speed with those, I think, helps him. There was a running back for Pike back in the early 2010s. Crabtree was his last name, I believe. There are a lot of linebackers that lost him back there in between, you know, was he if there's any type of combo block or where did that fast running back pop out? And Jamil kind of had that going for us there in the second half. And Jazz had some quality runs. And like you said, Gabe, he scrambled for a few first downs himself.
We talked about that last week, how important it is to have a two-way quarterback system with both quarterbacks being able to improvise whenever need to be, whether it's scrambling or throwing darts out there.
So, Coach, in the game, you get out to a 7-0 lead, which had to be really nice. I mean, you know, you get out there and you get ahead, and then Avon comes back 14-7 at the half, and then the third quarter kind of happened, and it happened pretty quick, too. I mean, when you look at the way I think this game went, it just kind of sort of got away there in that third quarter. Was there anything specific that you saw maybe in the film that maybe changed from the first half to the second half?
Their ability to run the ball too. They had a closed formation and able to pick apart a little bit of where they were attacking us, and picked up a few big chunks on some runs, kind of the save rush scheme. And then when we were able to stop it, their quarterback scrambled for some two dagger ones. Like the moment where the stop would have been what, you know, if you're there locked into the whole game watching, that's the stop that kind of builds a comeback. And then he scrambled for 40 yards. Like the dagger would happen. Like so the next thing that, you know, as a defensive would, you know, make sure we can fix, because if we don't by this next Friday, then they got a quarterback that can scramble.
Well, sure. And you know, you talk about Avon's running ability. And I think we referred to this a little bit last week, but that's not traditionally Avon. You know, I mean, the last years they've had a quarterback who could really spin the football, kind of going back to the Coach Bless era there.
Mason,
yeah. I mean, they've had some guys that could really
some gunslingers.
Yeah, who could really throw the football. So, you know, it's how different is it to see that out of Avon maybe than the way they've been in the past?
Well, and they have a, you know, multiple running backs like we had, like you said, for us on our stats for Friday night. They one of their key ones wasn't rushing the ball. Number 7 was out with an injury, and 34 and both 34 and 24 stepped in nicely and had some, you know, the bigger backs that, you know, punished a little bit too. Like, and that's not something that we take lightly either. So there have been some tackling circuits that we've made sure we've cleaned up on some of the form tackling that we had on Friday night.
And I asked WBDG alum Jackson White, who's on the call Friday, I asked him for some of his biggest takeaways of the game and what you guys did well and what you guys need to improve on. Two things he said you guys thought you could improve on is he thought you got your guys' secondary struggled a little bit during that game, and he also said that you guys had 5 false starts. That obviously was a little bit of a problem against Cathedral. So he said the penalties hurt you guys. And have you guys been really focusing? Have you guys been hammering down on what has been like your negative points? Been trying to really hammer down those more than certain areas, or how's it been looking for the certain sparks you know you're kind of struggling with?
The false start reference is more, it's on offsides for the defensive line. And the quarterback for Avon did a nice job with the hard count, and he got us on one where a big one where they hard counted multiple times, and D-line held the first few times and were unable to do that this the last time he did the hard count. And that's something that we struggled with last year against Pike, so we need to make sure that that's something we took care of in practice so far this week. That this was in the playoff game against Pike, we drew them, and that was something that they probably got us 3 or 4 times with the hard count, and they went late in the play clock where a lot of guys didn't think that there was a no play coming, so that they're able to go off of the cadence, and there was a no play. And even with 2 seconds left on the play clock, so if there was nothing, then either Pike was going to be burning a timeout. They weren't going to be able to get a second play off, so they were either going to call a timeout or that was everything that they were trying to do. So that is one thing we've been paying attention to this week. That's 2 weeks in a row now that some of the offsides have been happening with our defensive line. But then secondary-wise, we gave up one big one for a touchdown, but the coverage was there on the other ones that then the scrambles happened. So, like, it would be nice for our secondary to start creating some turnovers when that ball goes in the air. Like, both quarterbacks have been efficient, Coors and Jason, in week two. So they both have been efficient against us. Pretty good completion percentage, but not a lot of passing yards, but there's just enough to keep drives going. And now we just got to get the teams off the field.
Speaking of turnovers, that was a big issue kind of in the first game there against Fighting Irish. You guys had four total interceptions. This game, though, Kinnett only had one interception. How important was that to keep you guys sort of in the fight there for a while, obviously up until that later stage of the game?
The interceptions in week one were, in every situation, it was almost a passing situation, and they were down the field.
Yeah.
There's no compliments on, like, hey, good job on that interception, but they were more like the punt that you needed at the time. The last two of them, one is just before half against Cathedral. Obviously, we weren't going to be punting at that time because there was less than 15 seconds left in the game, or 15 seconds left in the half there. And then the one in the fourth quarter, we obviously wouldn't have been punting in that situation. But all of the interceptions have come deep, deep passes. But this past week, we managed Gabe a little bit differently. Instead of as many downfield passes, we found ways to keep it short, keep it quick, keep it in the screen game, keep it, pitch and catch, a lot of more free throws out there than shooting half-court shots.
You know, you talk basketball, use a basketball analogy there, where you're kind of talking about mental things right now. And I know we talked to Stan Bench, the girls basketball coach here, Ben Davis, and we talked about, you know, free throw shooting and things like that have been problems in the past few years, maybe for the Lady Giants a little bit. And, you know, asking Coach Benge, it's like, how do you, the person outside of the program would say, well, you just have them go shoot and shoot and shoot and shoot. And it's like, well, sometimes that doesn't help. So when you've got players who are making those mental errors, what's the best way to work with them to try to eliminate the mental errors?
Oh, that's a good question. Sometimes, it is the shoot. You know, like,
right.
You need 100 reps of it. You need to retrain your brain. You need to refocus and relearn the habit of the success. Or sometimes it is anxiety in that situation. Like, we call it, was receivers, like ball anxiety, like when the ball's in the air, or the defensive backs with the ball there, there's ball anxiety. Getting them over that little hump and then just controlling a drill where you don't have to have the full rep of it. You just have the detail of the ball coming right there, making the play and getting over that anxiety part. But with it being, if a defensive lineman, or if it's a free throw shooting type of thing, or the easy pitch and catch everyday drill, you can do it by the everyday habits. You could do it pre-practice. You could do it post-practice. Last year at this time, we felt like our receivers had a lot of drops. That's not a huge issue in our program now, but that was a pre-practice, post-practice thing. They had 100 catches before practice, they had 100 catches after practice, and it was after the Pike game last year where we felt that we had about 5 or 6 drops every single game, or there were catchable balls in every single game, that we made sure that we focused on that. So that there are times where veterans might be getting pulled a little bit earlier because that's not expected from them. And that's enough for them to just taste that two or three plays off, and that's enough for them to go back to their other habits. But putting them in situations where they can feel the positive and they are able to remember the good habits of that particular moment.
I mean, too, you got to know your kids a little bit, too,
yes.
In that case.
Yes, yeah. Sometimes it is 100 reps. Sometimes it's just 10 seconds on the sideline. Yeah. It depends it changes with each kid.
Like for Nyland Brown, it'd be 10 seconds on the sidelines.
That would be enough of a punishment for him, yes.
Yeah. All right, well, we'll take this short break. We'll come back, and we've already mentioned them a couple times, but the Pike Red Devils are coming in. They're not in a particularly good mood either with their start, so that will be Friday night's game. We'll talk about it coming up second half of Inside Ben Davis Football. Thanks to Chuck Baer of eXp Realty for his support. Chuck Baer with eXp Realty offers services such as an analysis of your home's value, a marketing plan, and knowledge of the market. Serving central Indiana counties, Chuck Baer of eXp Realty can be reached at 317-698-3339. Online at exprealty.com. Thank you again to Chuck Baer of eXp Realty for his support. Now back to Inside Ben Davis Football, presented by Baer Realtor. And welcome back to Inside Ben Davis Football on Indy's Giant 90.9. Once again, we'd like to thank Chuck Baer for his support of this program and sports on Giant 90.9. So thank you, Chuck. Now we're in segment two of Inside Ben Davis Football as the Pike Red Devils make the short trip down I-465 to come face the Giants. And Bryson, I know you have questions.
Yeah, so first one is, obviously you guys are off to, you know, both of you guys are off to a bit of a slow start, 0-2. I'm just kind of curious to get an inside look. How do you and the rest of the coaching staff, how do you guys, like, address a start like this to the young guys? Like, how's the message? Is it authoritative? Is it, like, what kind of is the message going into, you know, this slow start?
Great question. Let's go with yesterday's practice. Let's start with yesterday's practice. There was a lot of the conversation was making sure we picked everybody up off the mat, made sure we were all understood that we're moving forward and it's not like the end of the world or it's the end of the season or it changes from team to team. If there's any type of adversity, if you have a veteran team, how you handle it. But obviously with a lot of younger team out there, making sure that they understand why we are where we are. We need to put together a full week of practice. We need to put together a full week in the classroom, but put together a full week of our taking care of our bodies, put together a full week of knowing the game plan. Thought we did a nice job getting prepared for Westfield and the scrimmage, the way that we handled that. I thought we did a nice job preparing for Cathedral, but it's a repetitive process, and we got to make sure that we treat this very professionally. And part of it is your body, part of it is the classroom, part of it is being here every day, taking care of your academics, then taking care of the installs for football, and then after Friday night ends, it starts all over again the next week, and it's a repetitive process that our guys need to get accustomed to.
Yeah, another thing, I obviously I'm not in your shoes because I can never be a football coach. But
sure, you can.
WBDG is always undefeated. That's our motto. We never lose a game ever.
It's just so interesting because I wonder how the approach is. Both of you, your two, you and Pike, you guys have only combined for a total of 21 points. They scored 7 in their first game against Zionsville. And obviously, you guys got shut out versus Cathedral. You scored the 14 last week against Avon, but they were shut out against Crown Point last week. How difficult is that to kind of look in to not a very high-scoring team?
You just talked this game into being 49-42. You know that, right?
I know. It's going to be the highest-scoring game ever now.
I've been a part of that one, yeah.
How hard is that to – you don't have a lot of kind of offensive – firepower with the other team because they haven't scored a lot? Is that harder to kind of look at what certain plays they run, or do you still think that they're in one of the same plays whether it leads to scoring or not?
Well, if you get an opportunity to watch Pike, they've moved the ball and they've put themselves in positions to score. They had an ability to score against us last year. They have the Coach Brandon Johnson as their offensive coordinator did a great job last year, and he's doing a great job with them this year. They're moving the ball. They just haven't put the ball in the end zone as often as they'd like. And they've had some scores wiped off the board, too. They had two against Zionsville that were wiped off the board. If you look at it and you just see the 7 points total, then that will be a long night for us, like if we take their offense lightly and think that they can't score, because they have been able to move the ball. Both offenses have been able to move the ball. Like we had over 300 yards of offense this past week. It just
not being able to convert it into actual
and it being points. Able to complete. There's a few different ways you score. If you put together a nice 12 play drive and you 6 yards here, 4 yards here, convert on a 3rd and 2, and you go all the way down and you had the ball on your own side of the 50, then you had the ball you took a shot here and there. It may not have worked, but then you punch it in from like the 12 or the 8, and you just have a methodical drive. That's one way to score. Another one was a scoreboard changer, and it's from 50 yards, 65 yards, or catching something small and being able to make one miss and then take it. And we need to figure out ways to do the second or third phase instead of 12 play drives, methodical long drives. And those are the ways that we have scored so far this year. The scoreboard changers need to be need to start happening. Something, some nice long post going across the field, or making one miss and then taking it 60 yards of the house.
Hopefully, I jinxed it. Hopefully, it's, you know, you guys put up like 48 now.
That'd be great. Yeah. I would appreciate it. That'd be awesome.
When you look at scoreboard changers, like you just said, one of them played at Notre Dame.
He got on the field.
He got on the field. He did, and they said, "Oh, I'd go right at the freshman." And I saw. Former trainer Jenny Rurano said, he went the other way.
Funny story. I almost was really like, I was about to text the group chat that we had last year because he came right into the game and the next play was a passing play touchdown. And I thought the play that they had the touchdown on, I thought he was in coverage where the guy caught it.
It was a 21.
I was like, oh, that's not good. And I realized.
No, it was not him.
You want to play with that fire? Go ahead and throw it up near your mark.
Throw it right at Mr. Football and see what happens. But, you know, when you you are missing a player like Mark Zachary and a couple of years ago, some of the players that you had then. So you're developing them. You're in the development stage. So when you – maybe this is more of a question that's geared towards the people who only watch wins and losses and things like that because – there are people that do that. How do you? I don't want to say because expectations are the I think Coach Simmons said the standard is the standard here at Ben Davis, and you've got all those 10 state championships looking at you in the end zone. But this team being so young, you're in the development stage with a lot of these players, and while you get summer to develop and you don't see a lot of live action on a Friday night until you see a lot of live action on a Friday night. So how do you explain that to people who maybe just say, Ben Davis lost to Avon on Friday? You know, when I was there, we never lost to Avon, because you hear all those things, you see them on social media, which I'm sure you ignore if you're smart. What do you say to people like that when you're trying to develop the Mark Zacharys of the future? That was a long question. I apologize for that.
It's a very polite question too. You could have gone a little but no, if there is time to talk with somebody that has questions, for sure. But like, you have to focus on yourself right now, and you have to realize that if those questions are coming from 34, 44, 54 year olds, well, you got 14, 15, 16 year olds you need to worry about. So like, we need to make sure our 14, 15, 16 year olds, usually I said 17, 18 year olds, but we don't have as many of those. Right. But like, making sure our kids understand that like, the football gods are watching us. Like if you put together a full week of preparation, you put together a full week of getting yourself up and you're you're at your first period on time and you're not roaming the hallways and you're getting your homework turned in. And then you're getting after school, you're learning the installs. If you need treatment, you're taking care of your body, doing things the right way. Your hydration on Wednesday and Thursday, making sure that you're not one that's cramping up and having to come out of the game. Making sure that you're not one that's having to come out of the game because of knee pads or shoulder pads or a back plate or a mouthpiece. Like, you are doing everything and you make every decision for Ben Davis football and to win. What the habits that you form if you continue to do them, and we all do them as a team, then over time the Mark Zacharys then start to blossom and start to come out. But dwelling on that, we did play two veteran teams. Like the two teams that we played in week one and week two, the amount of seniors that they have started, the amount of 3-year, 2-year starters that they have, like, they're veteran teams. But we're a 6A program, and we don't look at that as like we can't compete with them. Like we'd like to play them again. Like it's not like okay, they took it round one, let's play them again. Let's see how I would go the second time. Yeah. So
one case, you may get a chance.
Yes, yeah, that's the but if the time's right, the ability to talk with somebody that has questions, sure. Like, let's sit down and like chop it up a little bit. But right now, let's worry about the 15, 16, 17 year olds make sure that they're turning into a little Mark Zachary so they can see themselves play. This what was that? Miami and what was that stadium called? That was a nice
Hard Rock.
Yeah. There it is. That was a loud little environment that he had to go in on in the first place. So just developing those guys and making sure that they understand that they're doing the right thing.
Yeah, and this is a bit of an interesting question, but I'm curious, do you have any, like before games and stuff, do you have any pregame superstitions, like anything you do before a game that you feel is lucky? Do you do anything, consistently, or you just go out there and play football?
For myself, I would say since I'm not playing, I would try to eliminate superstitions. But there are certain things, certain songs I may listen to. I don't know if we need to go into the playlist, but it goes from Tupac to Phil Collins. So it's quite the variety.
I feel like it's how everyone's playlist is nowadays. You get sad song to... whatever it may be.
Tupac one is not sad for sure.
Gets you hyped.
Oh yeah, that's the first one that's played every Friday morning, and then it goes to Phil Collins in the air at night. So those would be the two things that I like to listen to. If I play right at the stoplight, right by the driving range, and I play start Phil Collins in the air tonight, it's perfect timing for when I park. So I get to hear the drum
fill right when you park.
Oh yeah, as I'm pulling around the stadium, I get to hear the dun, 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 dun. It's the exact same spot right when I'm passing the trees and pulling in by the soccer field. I get to hear the drums right there.
And then I guess my final question for you here is, what is the biggest change you're kind of looking at for the team from last Friday against Avon to this Friday versus Pike? What's the kind of the biggest change you're looking for, if you're looking for a change, or maybe you just want us to be more efficient? What is the biggest change you're looking in from Friday to Friday?
Well, our guys heard it at the end of our practice today, and we just keep talking about we've come together, and there's a little bit more to it, but there's in any type of adversity that happens on Friday, if they were to respond like Avon did and go 7-7, we have come together. We have a certain thing that we're talking about right now and making sure that we play complimentary football, play four quarters of it, and it's okay to have a little fun out there, and let's let loose a little bit here. Let's play Ben Davis football.
Coach, we haven't really talked much about Pike this segment, which usually we do, but maybe that's kind of indicative of where you are right now in the season, where you're sure you're worried about your opponent, but you're also worried about yourself a lot at this point. But Pike comes in, as I've called them, Ben Davis North, because they have so many Ben Davis alums on their staff, starting with the head coach, Mike Brevard, you mentioned Brandon Johnson. There are a lot of Ben Davis people up there. They know how things are done here at Ben Davis. So how do you prepare for that as they're coming in, being such a program that is so familiar with what's happened here at 1200 North Girls School over the years?
Well, both programs have played two very good games last year. We got the better one. The game one last year, we kind of pulled away from late in the second quarter. But that sectional game was as good of a playoff game. If anybody watched that game, anybody that was a part of it, I talked to Coach Brevard and Coach Johnson the Saturday after that game, and I told both of them that was a regional level game. They had that was a very high level 6A game. The chess match that was happening out there, those two had done a great job with that program, and they've they might be 0-2 right now, but that's not something we're overlooking right now. That they're going to have their guys ready to play. And this is going to be another great if both programs are 0-2. That doesn't mean that we're in the bottom half of this 6A at all. Go ahead, and both programs are going to be ready by the playoffs. So, unfortunately, one of us have to walk out 0-3 on Friday night, but both programs are going to be ready to play this Friday.
All right, Coach. Anything else for the Purple Rain? Let's
even bring it more than we did this past week. Everybody that's got a plays a varsity sport that's on a roster, go see the athletic office, get your pass. Let's go ahead and fill that crowd up. We got DJs there. Let's have some fun this Friday.
All right.
Good luck on Friday, Coach.
Appreciate it, guys. Thank you for having me.
It's going to be a great game Friday night. The Giants and the Pike Red Devils. It's always special when the two best schools on the west side get together. Ben Davis and Pike, no disrespect to where I live in Decatur. I guess I can't go home now. They're gonna put a gate up so I can't get back into Decatur now. But yeah, Ben Davis and Pike, 7 p.m. on Friday. We'll have pregame at 6. You'll hear this show right off the top, followed by Giants Tonight, which Bryson does. So that's coming up Friday night. So tune in, Ben Davis Football. We'll have the game right here on Indy's Giant 90.9.
This has been a presentation of the Ben Davis Sports Radio Network.
We have come together.
We have come together.
To fight for victory.
Fight for victory.
Best friends with one another.
Best friends with one another.
I want my family.
I want my family.
So come on, Giants.
Come on, my Giants.
Join us with the fun.
Join us with the fun.
Our team is finally ready.
Our team is finally ready.
To fight for number one.
Fight for number one.
Our team includes many things.
Team includes many things.
Help us win this fight.
Help us win this fight.
Girls, pride, boys.
Girls, pride, boys.
Show us what is right.
Show us what is right.
If we don't do what is right,
we don't do what is right.
We'll find out what's wrong.
We'll find out what's wrong.
Our team will never give up.
We're
fighting for too long.
Giant 90.9.